Appreciate the message that we've heard, and certainly, certainly are greatly comforted by the Word of God. And much of what Brother Thomas has said this morning is very much in keeping with what I want to continue with this morning. And perhaps my subject is just another way that God comforts us. But it certainly is oftentimes through His Word. So I want to call your attention to Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. In closing out, no doubt this was comforting to the brethren at Philippi. But Paul says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Brother Thomas mentioned part of the reasons why we are to read the Word of God. Certainly, first and foremost, to know what it says, but then to understand it, and also with the Spirit of God in us, that we're blessed to know Him better. We can grow in our understanding of the Lord through His Word by knowing how He has dealt with His people in the past, and how He has demonstrated His love, how He has demonstrated His mercy, how He has demonstrated grace in sending us His Son, grace being unmerited favor. You know, there's so much being talked about in the world today about you are worthy. You're worthy. Well, our worthiness is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to stay there, okay? So when we think about my God, Paul says, shall supply all your need. Didn't say needs with an S, but need, the whole of it. There's a lot of things we need that we don't realize. There's a lot of things we need that we don't think about. There's probably some things we need that we wouldn't ask for. You know, but God knows. And so isn't it comforting then to realize that He will supply all our need? I mean, isn't that what Psalm 23 is all about? Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's not a matter of the things that you want being supplied. It's a matter of you're not going to lack. You know, that's the meaning there. We're not going to lack. You know, some of you and some of us have been through some very trying times in life, okay? And sometimes when we think about where Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," maybe sometimes we get into the mindset of thinking that we won't have to go through troubles. That's just not the case, is it? Jesus said, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." So when our trust is in Him, that we can walk through that valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil, for Thou art with me. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. One of the best ways that I can think of to kind of lead into this subject is to go back and reach back into the Old Testament. You know, like Brother Thomas said, you know, the things which were written aforetime were written for our learning, so that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, may have hope. When we think about the way God has dealt with some of the patriarchs of old, when we think about the experiences of some of God's people who have trusted God and God took care of them, even in terrible trials, then it is comforting for us to realize when we read the Old Testament scriptures and we see God's love and mercy and care being exercised for others, then it should comfort us because He's the same God today. He cannot change. All right? So when we think about some of those experiences in the Old Testament, let me just spend a minute or two going through some of those. You think about Adam and Eve. Now, obviously, we can't talk about everything that happened there, but what I want to get you to think about is the fact that God planted a garden, the Garden of Eden, and He provided everything that they needed. You talk about God shall supply all your need. Listen, they had everything they needed in the Garden of Eden. There was one thing God said they didn't need, but they wanted it anyway, right? All right? But God provided all they needed. And even when man fell, we find that God made coats of skin to clothe them. And that's one of our earliest pictures of the redemption that God had already provided through His Son. Because blood had to be shed for those skins to be taken and made coats for Adam and Eve. And so we get a glimpse right there that God made that provision for them, but it points us ahead to the fact that God had already provided redemption for man's fall. That is, for those He had chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. That provision was already made before He made Adam and Eve. All right? So when we think about God was already showing us how He supplies our need. All right? Let's go a little farther. When the children of Israel had multiplied, when they were in the land of Egypt, and it was time for them, God had already told way back in Abraham's day, way back in Abraham's day, God had told him before he even had children, He said, "Thy seed shall be strangers in a land that's not theirs for 400 years. Now, just the fact that God can speak 400 years into the future and tell us exactly about what something's, you know, how something's going to happen, you know, that's comforting to me. Because in reading the scriptures and in becoming more acquainted with our Lord and how He has manifested His love and His mercy and His care for His people, it helps me to be reminded of those things, that God is well able to supply our need today. And we need to be reminded of that. All right? So right there, when the children of Israel, who God had already told Abraham, you know, many years before, that they were going to be there, they were going to be strangers in their land that's not theirs for 400 years, but he said He would bring them out. And when He brought them out, there's another glimpse of redemption. Because He instituted the Passover. He instituted that where they should take a lamb and slay that lamb and roast it. They would take the blood and sprinkle it over their doorposts. And God said He was going to come in, and the destroyer would come in, and He said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over." All right? Well, the Egyptians didn't have blood on the doorposts of their houses, right? And so the death of the firstborn was affected there. But where the blood of the lamb, the Passover lamb, wherever that blood was applied, the destroyer passed over that household and they were safe. Why are you talking about that when you're talking about redemption? Because Paul would tell us in the New Testament that Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. All right? So we find that the Lord Jesus Christ, again, we're seeing a picture of how the provision was made that we would be safe because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It didn't apply to everybody, but it applied to wherever the blood was applied to the doorpost. All right? So what a blessing that we can see that God was giving them in their deliverance from Egypt. Gave them a picture of their redemption, not only a timely deliverance, but also a picture of our eternal deliverance because of the Lord Jesus Christ. God was taking care of his people. And by the way, when they went down to Egypt, you know, Joseph told them to tell Pharaoh that they were shepherds. Now, to an Egyptian, a shepherd was an abomination. Okay? But God was just going before them and providing a way. Because they were shepherds, they were given the land of Goshen, and it was the richest and the most fertile area in that part of the world. Look how God was providing for them. And so where they had to live while they were down in Egypt was the land of Goshen, and there was plenty of grazing for the herds. There was plenty that they needed. God was supplying their needs. Not to mention that he'd already sent Joseph ahead. There's so much there. But when you read the scriptures, when you read how God has dealt with his people, and that's the revelation that he's given us of himself in his word, to show us how he loves us, how he has provided. And so when you go through these Old Testament stories, they're far more than just stories, aren't they? They show us God. They show us his love for us. They show us his mercy. They show how he has provided and taken care of his people. And it also will tell us a whole lot more about what we have to look forward to when this life is over. And so we think about, all right, God's people in the land of Egypt. And then when they left Egypt, as they journeyed, there was a time they were out there in the wilderness. They didn't have any food. And it's estimated it was about 2 million people. Well, would you like the task of providing food for 2 million people? You know, you have a carload of folks show up and you know, even that, you have to think a little bit about what you might do. All right, 2 million people. Well, what did God do? He just rained it down from heaven. He provided them manna. Wow, they'd never seen anything like that. You know what that manna means? What is it? They hadn't seen anything. It had never happened before. But while they were in need and they were there because God had called them out of Egypt, then God provided for their needs. And all the time that they wandered in the wilderness until they went into the land of Canaan, the manna fell just like God said it would. All right, and you know it fell 6 days a week, and on the seventh, whatever they gathered up on the sixth day would then have there'd be enough for the seventh. All right, so they didn't have to go out and gather it. All right, and you know the story about that, I hope. But God was providing all their needs. Matter of fact, let's see. That was the food. There was a time they came to a place there was no water. And the people started murmuring again. You know, they were famous for that, weren't they? They started murmuring again. And God gave them water from a rock. Told Moses to smite the rock. And a river. We're not talking about a trickle. We're not talking about like a water fountain. We're talking about a river of water enough to feed provide water for over 2 million people and their livestock. That's a lot of water. It had to be a river of water that came out of that rock. But God, it wasn't there until God opened it up and brought it to them. God shall supply all your need. Matter of fact, in Deuteronomy 29, let's just take a minute here. Deuteronomy 29. I just want to get just one thing. You know, they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness because of their unbelief, and they provoked the Lord. All right. Deuteronomy 29, verse 5. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you. You got many clothes that's 40 years old? And thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy feet. 40 years. God not only provided for their needs, but he preserved their clothing and their shoes in the process. That's how he went about it. Providing. He said, you've not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, that you might know that I am the Lord your God. Who did that? Was it because of the material and the craftsmanship of those clothes and those shoes that they would last for 40 years in the wilderness? No, it was God providing their need. How wonderful is our God. So that we would give him the praise and give him the glory for his provisions for us. We could go through Elijah. Prophet Elijah. You know, there was a time when the Lord sent Elijah to Ahab, that wicked king, told him it wasn't going to rain. Shortly after that, the Lord called Elijah out into the wilderness. Now, this is not just his people. Here's a servant of the Lord, one who's faithful to God, and God's going to take care of him too. And so when he calls him out, he says, for I have commanded the ravens to bring you bread and flesh in the morning and in the evening. Can you imagine that? The Lord telling this prophet to be out in the wilderness, and ravens were going to bring him bread and flesh in the morning and in the evening. And he's going to drink from the brook Kidron, supplying his need. I just imagine that Elijah may have gotten rather comfortable with those provisions for a while. And then the brook dried up. What's he going to do now? Well, the Lord told him where to go. And what did he say? For I have commanded a widow woman there. So he had to go all the way up to the Zarephath. A woman of the Sidonians, not Israelites, but he commanded her to take care of me. I don't have time to get into that story. I encourage you to read that story. First Kings 17 is where you'll find it. But it's a wonderful passage of not only God providing for his people, but for God giving special provision for his servants. All right? I'm going to leave that. There's a lot there, but I'm going to leave that. We also find in the days of Elisha, who succeeded Elijah in ministry, and many miracles that he performed, there was a widow there. Okay? A great need. And, her husband died, and she had a great need. And so Elisha told her, go borrow vessels. She had a little thing of oil. He told her to go borrow vessels. And they started pouring that oil into those vessels. And they filled every vessel that they had. And they said, bring more. Bless your hearts. God performed a miracle on behalf of that widow to provide for her needs. Now, I know you've gotten the point already that God provides, but what I'm trying to show you is there's a great variety of ways that God will do that. He doesn't always do things in the same way. You can't put God in a box. He does according to his will, the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of men, none could stay his hand or say, what doest thou? He will provide whatever the need is, and he's well able to do it. You see, that's part of the understanding to Kennedy comforted this, is to know that he's well able to do what he's provided, what he's promised to do. And so when you read through the Old Testament, when you read through the New Testament, when you read through these passages that teach us how God goes about providing for his people, it ought to be comforting to us, because he's just as able today and tomorrow and the next day until Jesus comes again. He always will be just as able to provide for us. And all I'm talking about so far is the natural needs that we have in this life. But that's most of what we know, isn't it? You know, there's times when life is hard. There's times when there's challenges. There's times when there's decisions that need to be made. There's just many things that we're faced with, but we can always, no matter what the circumstance might be, we can always rest and find comfort in God's promise that his word says he will supply all our need. I can rest in that, can't you? So when we think about the many ways, and I could talk about Naaman. Remember the Naaman, the captain of the host of the Syrians? He was a great man. He was honorable. The Lord had used him in many ways. But, didn't you say something about those buts? But Naaman was a leper. Well, you know what that means? He wasn't going to be out and doing his job very long. He's going to have to be off by himself. God provided through the prophet Elisha. Told him what to do. He was blessed with healing. All right? So when we think about how that God provided in that case, and I encourage you to read that. That's over in 2 Kings chapter 5. Remember the three Hebrew children? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Why do we remember the Babylonian names and not the Hebrew names? Okay. So when we think about when they were faced with a temptation, Nebuchadnezzar built that image. He commanded that when they heard the sound of the music, everybody would bow down. They didn't bow down. Those three refused. Where was Daniel? I don't know. But it's the story is about these three. They refused. And at least the king, he knew they were good people. He appreciated their ability and what they had done in his kingdom. And so he gave them a second chance. Maybe they didn't quite understand. So they told him again what the requirement was, and they played the music, and they still wouldn't bow down. Remember that old Statler Brothers song? They wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't burn. All right? Bless your hearts. God was faithful. Because they were faithful to God, they stood up. God showed, and there were people there from all over the kingdom that day. And when those three didn't bow, and when they were cast into the fiery furnace, and the king said, lo, did not we cast in three? And lo, I see four. And the fourth is like unto the Son of God. I believe that verse right there was put in there. The Lord put that there because of what the king had asked earlier. When they refused to bow down and they were going to be cast into the fiery furnace, that old king said, and who is that God that shall deliver you from my hand? Well, he was number four. Actually, he's number one, isn't he? He was the fourth one that Nebuchadnezzar saw in that furnace. The Lord was in there with them. And you can count on the fact that if you're ever going through the furnace of affliction in this life, he'll be right there with you. He will supply all your need. And Daniel himself later found that there were some people that tricked the king, had a decree passed that nobody should worship or pray unto any god except the god of the Medes and the Persians. What did Daniel do when he found out the writing? When he found out what was done, what did he do? Did he find a new place to pray? No. He went to his room, and he opened up his windows toward Jerusalem, And he prayed as he had aforetime. And that part of it is so key. As he had aforetime. He didn't have to go find the Lord when he got into trouble. He was already worshiping God every day, praying to him three times a day. And their decree didn't stop him or slow him down from doing what he had already had been doing in praying unto God and serving the one true and living God. And God delivered him from that den of lions, right? God delivered him in a mighty way. God was with him, all right? There's so much that we could talk about with regard to those Old Testament passages. I mean, the more you understand that these are not just stories. They are ways that God has provided for his own and has taught them and led them and provided for them and protected them. When you read those things with the understanding that this is who God is, he is showing us who he is and what he has done for us. Then we can rejoice. Those Old Testament stories can take on much more sweetness and much more power when we understand that those are lessons for our learning. We can, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, have hope. All right? So what I've talked about is natural challenges, natural afflictions, natural problems. But I started out pointing out how that God had already provided for our redemption. And when we understand that when we come to understand who he is, when he gives us his spirit, and we're blessed to know him, and we've tasted his love, and we felt that he's watched over us and cared for us, then that extends not just to this life, but in the one to come. That someday when the trials of this life are over, because of what God has done for us through his Son, because Jesus suffered and died to redeem us from our sins, and bless your hearts, we will be with him in glory forever. That he has supplied all our need, not only in the temporal realm, not only in the natural things, but bless your hearts, we had all had sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were under the law of condemnation. But God supplied that need as well, didn't he? He sent his Son to this world to suffer and die and to redeem us from our sins and to pay our sin debt. He canceled it. It's paid in full. And bless your hearts, we rejoice that Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our protector, our provider, all that he is for us, God has supplied all our need eternally. And he's also watching over us each day. Every day, when our eyes open in the morning, we ought to say, thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. Just keep thanking him over and over and over for the gift of life, for the gift of eternal life, for the gift of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then thank him for the temporal blessings we have. But just remember that God's word says he will supply all our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Every spiritual blessing that we have is for Jesus' sake. And because we're part of his family, we also have those blessings that we receive in the temporal realm for his sake as well. Bless your hearts. Let's rejoice in the God of all comfort. Let's rejoice in the one who supplies our every need, both now and forever. May God bless you is our prayer.